You're listening to the General Geekery Podcast.
Somebody once told me
the world is gonna grow me.
I ain't
sure this girl in the shed.
She was looking
kind of dumb
with her
gun
and her
something
in the shape
of an
L
on
her form.
Yes.
Well, the tears start coming and they don't stop coming.
Fed to the
wolves and hit the ground
running.
Didn't make sense not to live
for
fun.
Your brain
gets smart,
but your head
hurts. So much
to do,
so much to see.
So
what's wrong
with taking
the back streets?
You'll never know
if you don't
go.
You'll never
shine
if you don't
glow.
Hey, now,
you're an all-star.
Get your game
on.
Oh,
babe.
Hey.
Now,
you're a rock star.
Get the
show on.
Get
paid.
And
all that
glitter
is gold.
The
moving
stars.
Break.
Welcome to another episode of General Geekery. I'd sure like to tell you what episode number it is, but you know what? We stopped counting a long time ago. So, I am Brian, and with me as always is JD.
Hello.
And tonight we have a couple of guests with us from the G.I. Joe Green Shirts. We have Blanca Lopez and Danny Valesco with us. How you doing, guys?
We're doing good. Nice. Thanks for having us.
Not at all. We're always happy to have you guys on the show. And JD, why don't you tell us a little bit about the group?
What?
Hello?
JD.
Uh-oh. Who disappeared right here?
JD did. So, as...
Oh, I think it's... Well, we could give you a rundown of why we started the Green Shirts. The reason why we started it is, you know, I had been in a few groups before. They were fine and cool, but we felt like, you know, you were handcuffed. You couldn't do this. You couldn't do that. So we said, you know, we're going to start a group where anything goes, as long as everybody treats each other well and there's no issues. You know, I don't care about the foul language or if there's lewd pictures, you know, within limits. But we wanted to have fun. It was kind of like a clubhouse where you go hang out with your friends after work and play grab ass and stuff. You know, it was cool. You know, and so far it's been pretty good, and we haven't had any, you know, we've had a few issues, but it hasn't been too big. Everybody's, you know, it's been a good experience for everybody, and we've made a lot of friends, you know, since March.
Excellent. I like the sound of that. I mean, you know, that's definitely one of the things we try and we have the same principle with the show, I would say. You know, we earn our explicit rating on iTunes, to be sure. You know, if we had to pay a dollar for every F-bomb that we dropped, we'd be funding funding NASA for the next mission to Mars. So,
oh man, but yeah,
fuck,
I mean,
fuck.
We're grown-ups, you know, who the hell is to tell us that we can't cuss, you know? I mean, it's like I should be able to say anything I want within reason, you know, especially with your, you know, if you're with your buddies, you know? So, I mean, that's, you know, it works well like that, you know? I mean, you're going to have issues regardless, you know, but for the most part, you know, it's been pretty cool, even though there's a lot of foul stuff going on, which is kind of funny to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you're on the internet, there's always going to be a few issues because
Yeah, JD and I both have been admins on forums before, and it's just moderators on forums. And we had our own board for a long time before we started doing the podcast. And so, yeah, I understand the headaches that go along with running something like this.
Oh, yeah, it's a 24-hour job, it seems like, especially lately. Everybody, you know, there's a lot of posts going out, so I try to keep a track on everything. And it's hard, even with the people that we have, you know, helping out.
Yeah, I think one of the hot topics right now that's going around for sure is the post that the IDW freelance art writer posted on 9/11, which that was pretty inflammatory and insensitive, and man, what an asshole. So
yeah, you know something, that's the kind of stuff you keep to yourself, you know. I mean, like, there's freedom of speech, but you know, people are gonna rip you, especially when you say insensitive stuff like that, you know. I mean, it's just people want to get a rise, and they'll do anything, it seems, and they'll hit something like that. You know, nothing's sacred anymore, and to me, it's disgusting. After I saw that, I was like, thank God I don't read any of the new stuff, or, you know, I don't even pay attention to what goes on, to be honest with you, comment-wise.
Me too, because, you know what, I got the same viewpoint. Freedom of speech is one thing, but there are certain things that you should just keep in your head and not actually put out there on the internet.
Yeah, you know,
for people to read, because he's a controversial guy. He does say things, you know, to get people riled up sometimes. But that particular thing that he said was way over, way out of bounds, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, you're
it was a terrible thing to say.
You're free to say what you want, but you're not free from the consequences of it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are finding that out with social media. They want to be all this and that, but when it comes down to it, you know, you're going to get scrutinized, and people are going to chase you out of groups and this and that. And I mean, especially during the whole Trump thing, I'm not going to tell you, you know, my political views, but I saw people doing that on Facebook, just running from each other back and forth, and it became just ridiculous.
Absolutely.
But that kind of stuff, I like to keep my politics out of, you know, out of my enjoyment time. As soon as I leave work, I really don't want to pay attention to any of that. This is kind of like my everything.
Yeah, no, I think we're – JD and I are both the same way on that as well.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty strict like that. I like to keep that out of my, you know, my enjoyment time. And I don't want to deal with that unless I have to. That's why I'm at home chilling.
Absolutely. So let's talk about G.I. Joe, man. So what got you guys into G.I. Joe?
Oh, man, it goes way back for me, you know, all the way since I remember, I think it was kindergarten or first grade, some kid brought it for show and tell. He brought a Snake Eyes and a Duke, and I had never seen anything like that because I had played with Star Wars, which were pretty basic, and these G.I. Joes were just had all these cool movements. You could do them in cool poses. I remember playing in the sandbox with them, you know, on their knees shooting. I thought they're the most incredible thing, so I told my mom I had to have them. Went home, ran home from school and told her, I gotta have them. These things are the coolest things, and she took me a while, but finally I got a few of them for my birthday. I was pretty stoked, and ever since then it's been an obsession, as you've seen.
Who were your first who'd you get for your birthday? Who were your first?
Oh man, my first Joe was Gung Ho. I loved Gung Ho. He was my favorite in the cartoons, and when I saw him, I was so excited, bro. I remember knocking shit over in the store. I was so excited. Nice. I swear, dude, I'm like, get my fuck out of my way. I'm like But yeah, I remember getting that one, and I remember being stoked, man. And then my dad bought me Airborne and Ripcord a little bit later, and I remember just being on a G.I. Joe high. My friends had, like, Blowtorch and Firefly, and I'm like, I can't find any of that shit in the stores, you know. But it was an awesome time. It was a golden time in the mid-80s with G.I. Joe and other lines. But it was an exciting thing, and it never died with me. My dad made me sell my shit in the early 90s, 93. Year later, my mom hooked me up. She bought me some, and then the obsession started again in the 94, 95, and I've been collecting ever
since. You know what? It never left me either. I never outgrew it. Nope. G.I. Joe has always been there, because even in the off years, once the line was canceled, you know, I didn't have a lot of the 93 and 94 line simply because the stores – you know, they weren't carrying them in abundance anymore, but, you know, I had a few from those years. And then when the 97 Toys R Us line started, I, at one time, had all of those. And, I mean, I've been buying them ever since. I mean, I've seen the meta inside the community change hundreds of times over the years. Yeah. I mean, there's a blog online called Forgotten Figures, run by a guy named Mike T, and he's been maintaining that blog for 17 years now.
Holy crap, really?
And yeah, because if you look at some of his reviews, yeah, they go back to like 2002 when he started the blog. So, I mean, I was a member of the Yo-Jo Pit mailing group back when Yo-Jo was a brand new website, and there wasn't such a thing as forums yet.
I mean, I don't even remember going. I think the only reason I even went online for G.I. Joe's is when eBay got real big. I started looking for them. But to be honest, I really didn't get into the groups or any of that until a few years ago. I had my own stores. It was a lot of stores. It was already collectors by me. So I just went on certain days. I didn't really have to go out and buy stuff from other people. And I really wasn't real social. I was kind of, I told you I was a punk rocker. I wasn't very social. So I kind of kept it to the little friends that I had in the neighborhood and the stuff I bought off of. you know. So I wasn't really a big online guy. I remember going, my friends were showing me some of the forms and some of the stuff that they had, and it was cool. I remember reading the, you know, seeing the pictures and the customs and stuff. I just never really got onto it. Not till years later did I jump on board with the community.
I didn't really get into the online communities until I started customizing.
Yeah, well, Danny's definitely a punk. I've seen pictures of him from, you know, when he looked like a dreadnought.
Right on.
G.I. Joe, it's never left. I mean, Brian and I both have Arashikagi tattoos. I've got tattoos of the G.I. Joe Eco Warriors going around my arm because I'm that much of a nerd.
I have a whole Eco Warrior set up in my room. I have a desk and I customize it to one level, two level, and it's the whole Eco Warriors castle. And then up right above it, I have like a street level with zombies and buildings, and I'm coming out of the buildings and shit. I go way back with the Eco Warriors.
The first post that I ever saw by you, yeah, they were Eco Warrior customs. I'm like, ooh, friend request. Yeah, it's good stuff. Blanca, what about you? Are you just into G.I. Joe because of Danny, or does it go back further than that for you?
No, it doesn't go further. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, so he's entirely to blame for it. Oh, good.
Well, last year when we met, and I came and lived with Danny... so quickly. So he had this room. He has an apartment with two bedrooms. So, and one of the bedrooms, it was always like closed. And I was like, "What is he hiding in there? Who is he hiding in there?" finally, I probably think like 2-3 weeks after, he came into the room and I was like, oh, okay. And he left the door open. So I came in and I was like, whoa, I look all the room filled with figures and a bunch of other toys. I'm like, wow. And he just looked at me like, oh my gosh, I'm in trouble. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. So he starts telling me the story of his collection and all that. So I was like, oh my goodness, it's very cool. I like it. And then one day he customized a Baroness with a Puma's head.
Yeah, with the ROC Baroness.
Yeah. And he's like, I made this for you. So I was like, oh my goodness, that is so cool. And he's like, that's you. And I was like, oh, thank you. So I start taking my customized Baroness everywhere. And then one day he's like, babe, let's be creative tonight. Let's customize. So he had this
bag of G.I. Joe bodies.
Yeah, of G.I. Joe bodies. And he's like, come on, let's build something, customize a figure. So I customized a Frostbite. Oh. And we painted and all that. So I was like,
You liked it. You had a good time.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is so cool.
That story really warms my heart.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah, from there on, we used to go to the park and everywhere, so I used to carry Baroness and my Frostbite everywhere, taking pictures everywhere with them.
What the Frostbite figure look like?
Juan Gabriel. The flashy jacket, all that shit, bro.
I'm gonna post that picture. It came out like pretty, like, messed up, but... For me, it was, like, so cool. I used some weird colors on him.
Yeah, it was, like bronze and black and pink.
Don't worry. Brian customized a pimp version of Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader. So,
yep.
Had the leopard spots and a hat and everything. So, yeah, Brian's all about some whacked out customs sometimes. And
I won a contest with those figures on Yak Face.
I mean, I'm not afraid to make customs with some Battle Core colors. It's only a matter of time before I start doing Eco Warriors too. I'm all about the Joes. And a few months ago, Brian and I got back into the O-ring Joes because of figures by for me it was some that he sent me, and then I bought a couple figures off Black Major and Red Laser, and that's it. I'm all done with the modern stuff. I'm fully back into the O-rings. I mean, I'm sitting here right now painting a custom.
I completely agree. Like, I'm kind of like over the modern. Last year I started army building. Once I got caught up with that, man, I was kind of like, yeah, I'm gonna take a break from modern. And like you said, those new Red Lasers and Black Majors, man, they're on fire, bro. Especially those Stardusters and the Alley Vipers. I got a couple of those Alley Vipers, man. Those things are killer, bro. So like, yeah, I feel with you. I'm like kind of over the modern at the moment.
You know what? I was with the modern stuff when they launched the 25th line in 2007. I was elated with them, but, after years of, they did the 25th line, then they did the Rise of Cobra line, and then they did the Pursuit of Cobra line, and then they got around the Retaliation. You know, I was still all in for it, but then, you know, we went a couple years with just a couple of exclusives and the club stuff, and, at some point last year, I started looking at the stuff that was coming out and some of the modern stuff I had. I'm just like, you know what? I'm just not feeling this at all anymore. And, the more repaints that have been done and sometimes not even just repaints, some of them, like some of the 25th figures straight out of the package, I look at them, I'm like, man, how did I not see the proportion problems that some of them have? I mean,
right.
Some of them they're gangly looking, and I mean some of them honestly look like they're fragile.
They're awful. They're completely awful.
I got back into the O-ring stuff, and I'm like, you know what? I just because Brian bought this guy's collection, and he sent me a bunch of figures that he didn't care about. And I mean, their figures are in excellent shape.
Yeah,
some of them just needed new O-rings. And it was like, I got a couple of those just before that. I had gotten a couple of Steel Brigades and a couple of Eel Vipers, from Red Laser and Black Major. And then the box that Brian sent me. And suddenly I was like, I was looking at him. I'm like, that's it. I'm home. It's like I should have gotten back into these things long ago.
Those Eel Vipers. I love those Eel Vipers, man. Those things.
They're killer, man. Awesome. They were killer. Well, I kind of want to go back to what we were talking about earlier. You were talking about the off years of G.I. Joe, which is a lot of people, are kind of talking about and getting into all those, like, Sergeant Savage. And I've even seen people into G.I. Joe Extreme now, which is kind of funny.
You know, here's the thing with Extreme. Dark Horse had an Extreme comic book. The title of it wasn't Extreme. It was just G.I. Joe, but I was a big fan of that comic, and I really liked a lot of the characters that at the time, Kenner created for the line, and Dark Horse created some of their own characters for that comic, and I was a big fan, but the problem was the toys were, junk. I mean,
yeah, they were junk.
They were 5-inch figures, and they're very well. They were Kenner figures, so they were all pre-posed. They all had ridiculous weapons. They didn't have any articulation. In fact, if you look at them, the most definitive review I can give of them is they are so very 90s. they're firmly from a time in pop culture where Marvel and DC, all the characters were getting bigger and crazier, and movies, you know, action movies and stuff were, you know, bigger is better, and that is exactly what the Extreme line looks like. You get a bunch of cool characters that are completely lost in these ridiculous figures they made.
You know something, though? I mean, I graduated in 96. I don't remember 96 having any good action figures, movies, or much. That it seemed like the whole era was a very dull era in time when it came to a lot of stuff. It was very boring. So boring at that time.
I mean, looking back, yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was like the Stone Age.
All the old franchises that people liked, you know, were pretty much gone. Star Wars at the time was dead. They didn't have really any of the nostalgic stuff that we were into growing up was all gone. And now, after all this time, yeah, people are taking new looks at Sergeant Savage and Extreme and realizing the same thing. Hey, there's some nifty characters. These are good concepts, but, you know, the figures still suck.
Very badly.
I mean, you know, the big problem with Sergeant Savage was, for no good reason, they upscaled him to being like 4.5 inches tall, but otherwise, they were the same classic style Joes that we'd had. And then Hasbro was, I mean, they joined forces with Kenner, and Kenner took over a lot of the action figure lines, and they did away with Sergeant Savage because it didn't have a whole lot of support. I mean, there was one episode of the cartoon they created, and
it was kind of dull, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, it was. But that's why I'm kind of glad that people are looking back now and saying, oh, this wasn't that bad. Just the toys sucked. So,
yeah. You know, a cool thing that I remember, too, is remember when I started getting back into it was 94, 95. At that time, we used to have they used to call them Thrifties or CVS. I don't know if you guys – I don't know where you guys are located, to be honest with you.
Oh, I'm in New York.
I'm in Colorado, and we have CVS stores. Yeah, we just started getting CVS stores.
All right, cool. But we used to have a thing like, which was like a CVS. They used to call it Thrifties over here in Southern California. And around 95, 96, I had about like a handful of them around me, and they actually had these big metallic bins with a lot of the Star Brigade, the Battle Corps. I mean, these were nice-sized bins with dollar figures in there. That's right. When I started collecting, I was able to get a lot of my rare stuff in those bins because I would go to all the different Thrifties and just grab as many dollar ones as I needed. I didn't buy many doubles. I just tried to fill in holes. And, man, those were some great times because you could get almost anything for almost nothing. I mean,
yeah,
I got an orange Roblox carded for $1. That thing's worth like $50 now or something like that, something ridiculous.
Jeez. Yeah, because, well, there was a discount store here called Odds and Ends, and it was the same thing. Around 96, 97, you go in there and they'd have a lot of Battle Corps, Star Brigade, Ninja Force stuff. And yeah, they were like, you know, $3 or $4. You know, nobody was buying them. You know, G.I. Joe was, well, for all intents and purposes, dead, literally, in people's minds and the toy line. But I remember, I think it was 97, I got the 94 Lifeline, the 94 Stalker, the Ice Cream Soldier, a couple of Star Brigade figures, and thinking, wow, too bad I didn't see these in the stores, you know, before the line ended, because at that point, the local stores like Hills and Ames, they weren't carrying this stuff anymore.
It was being phased out quickly, too. It went to either a Thrifties, or they had these other little markets, and just they were in bargain bins, bro. The packages were smashed. The bubbles were kind of ripped off, you know. But, hey, it was a buck.
I mean, I remember finding a bunch of cool stuff at like KB Toys, and man, rest in peace, KB Toys.
Boy, no kidding, I got a lot of my stuff there when I was a kid.
When did they finally close over there? Because I think 2005 was when they had, they closed the last one in Norwalk, which is like 15 minutes from here.
Probably here, early 90s.
Yeah, it was still 90s.
Yeah,
yeah. The last one to close here, I think closed in 2006.
Yeah,
but it was the only one in the area. I mean, there had been other ones, but even, you know, they were closed. And then, you know, I remember going in there in the last couple of months, it was open, and they really, the only Joes they had were like the Star Brigade Manimals that.
Yeah, those were bad, dude. I hated those things.
The only cool thing about those was the idea that after all those years, they brought out three of the six that had been planned. I mean, the color schemes were radically different from what they'd originally been planning, but, you know, they brought out the three of them, and the novelty of it was kind of cool that it was something that they were going to give us a 95, and then the line was canceled, so it didn't happen, but they were poor selling. I mean, nobody actually cared. That really, you had to be one of the hardest core Joe fans to even understand what it was supposed to be. And then when KB closed, that was, you know, that was the end of an era. But it's funny because you think back to that late, you know, those late years things and how cheap they were then. And now, I mean, you know, you're lucky to get them for less than $20 carded. I mean,
oh yeah, dude. I remember seeing Effects. I remember seeing Space Shot. I remember seeing all those in bins, and those are all stuff that people are paying decent—not big money, but decent money for now.
Yeah, I got a Star Brigade Cobra Commander carded for $23.
Oh wow.
You know, I haven't opened it yet. I'm going to, but
I opened that thing, dude. I love that thing. It's so silly. It's so ridiculous, but I like it.
Brian and I talked about it on a previous episode. It's one of my favorite versions of Cobra Commander, simply because they finally went balls out and they made an unmasked Cobra Commander. I mean, I know he still had the scarf over his you know, his mouth and nose, but I thought it was awesome that it wasn't just a fully helmeted figure, but, you know, I can understand why Brian and many other collectors just scoff at it, but
I think it's cool, I like it, I just think it's ridiculous, but I like it, just like the Fun School windmill, you know, it's that little, it's just ridiculous, but I like it for some reason, I don't know.
I love the Fun School line. No matter in all of its completely ridiculousness, I love it.
Oh yeah, it's like 1991 all over again.
Yeah, yep. In fact, I just got a Fun School Beachhead last week in the mail.
Beachhead.
But yeah, I don't know, Brian. At the time, what did you have? I mean, were you still buying any of it, or were you out then?
No, I was pretty much out of it at that point in time. That's, I don't know, 97 would have been, I was just finishing up. I was just coming back from the Navy. So I was just starting to work as, just getting ready to go to EMT intermediate school. So yeah, I did. There was nothing where I was at, because I was living in Colorado Springs at the time. So yeah, the KB had closed in the mid 90s. You know, there was nothing. I don't even remember collecting the comic book at that point in time either. I mean, it was Marvel.
Yeah, I don't have any of those later issues. I didn't feel like I needed to buy them. Like, I was happy where I ended my comics, because I got the last one. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, I have volume 15 of the trade of the Classic Joe trade paperback, which was, I think, the last 15 issues of the run. And I bought it for the 4-issue Star Brigade arc. Yeah, it's a little bit over the top, but
Yeah, I really didn't get back into it until just after I got married, I think. And I just, you know, had a combined income for the first time, and the first time that, you know, I had a little bit of a disposable income, and I started getting some of the figures that, you know, that I grew up with. You know, I think one of the first ones that I got was like Lowlight and Beachhead and, you know, some of my favorite Joes. And then I, you know, got some of the ones that I didn't have before. And while I was searching for those, you know, ones that I wanted, I kept seeing this one guy selling figures that I recognized the parts, but I'm like, I don't, that was never a figure. I know that part's from that figure and that part's from that figure, but that figure was never released. So I PM'd the guy. I'm like, dude, where did you get this? You know, what is this? And he said, it's a custom. And that's, you know, that's what got me into, from collecting into customizing.
I started customizing back in the 90s when I started buying the Power of the Force 2 Star Wars line, and there were a bunch of characters that I wanted them to make, but they didn't. And most of them were from Shadows of the Empire. And, you know, I mean, it was mostly head swaps and stuff. But then, I mean, I didn't really get into it, you know, with paint and actually, you know, taking things apart until a little later after that. But
I took some stuff apart and put it back together, you know, kit bashing
I did when I was a kid late because 80s. Of the back screw.
Yeah.
The back screw was like an innovation for me because I could take the figures apart and do that thing that they were always doing on the cartoon where G.I. Joe was always stealing the Cobra's uniforms and going in disguise. All the figures lost their heads so that I could put them on the Cobra body so they could be in disguise. But I don't think that really counts as customizing.
Yeah, it kind of does. As a kid, it seems like a whole other figure, though.
It does, well, totally.
That's true.
You're like, oh, this is so groundbreaking.
Yeah, because
right, absolutely.
I think I had the one Crimson Guard figure, but I don't think there was a Joe that I owned that did not have his head on that Crimson Guard body at some point. I think that's what happened to the figure was I think I wore it out because I kept taking it apart so I could make disguise Joes. Same with the Televiper, same with the Frag Viper. I mean, everybody wore those disguises.
Speaking of the Frag Viper, that's one of those figures just recently has gotten hot because I remember for many years people hated that figure. Now everybody has to have it. It's hilarious.
Well, who doesn't want a figure in puke brown pajamas? I mean, it's amazing with a strange insectoid head that doesn't match the rest of the figure.
Yeah, I did a custom Frag Viper. That's one of my favorite customs.
Yeah, but you made it cool. It wasn't in pajamas.
No, that's true.
No,
I made it more realistic.
Remember even as a kid buying that one saying, this is an odd looking figure. What the hell have they got going on here?
Yeah, I remember passing on him just because of that reason.
Yeah, I had the same reaction. I had the same reaction to him and the Toxoviper and the Annihilator and
I thought the Annihilator was a shit, man. I thought that was
Yeah, awesome. Man, I love the Annihilator. I know they're so garish, but I love them.
Well, it wasn't the colors that turned me off. It was just the general oddity of it because it was almost always the helmet that would kill me because in most of those – well, all right, I admit the Annihilator, there was one sticking point with me. I looked at the head and all I could see was a Black & Decker Dustbuster. I couldn't not see that strange flat helmet with the sloped visor and the weird mouth. I don't know.
I love that head. The only, aside from the colors, the only problem that I have with that figure is the torso on it. You know, he's wearing like a dress uniform. You know, this is a guy that's
it is a little weird.
That's like frontline trooper, and he's wearing a dress uniform.
I mean, tassels are cool when you're an Iron Grenadier.
Yeah, it must be a Scottish thing that I don't understand, I guess.
It's a trip, though. A lot of those figures now, like, I remember Chuckles was hated growing up. I remember he was always at the store. There was always a ton of Chuckles. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, everybody's, like, jumping on his bandwagon. And there's even a dude on Instagram that pretends to be him.
Really?
Okay, here's the – I think you can pinpoint Chuckles' popularity because it sort of started probably about 12 years ago. When Devil's Due was doing the comic, Chuckles had a couple of story arcs within those books that people really liked. It kind of had people take a new look at Chuckles, as he wasn't just the guy in the Hawaiian shirt, but you know, they actually used him, you know, as kind of a CIA operative, which is, you know, kind of what he was supposed to be,
right? And then, the G.I. Joe movie did him no favors.
Well, no. You mean the large mute lummox?
Yes.
Not help matters any. But about 5 or 6 years ago, IDW had that Cobra series that they did where the entire story was told from basically Chuckles' viewpoint when he was undercover within Cobra, and it was, you know, it was dark and it was gritty and it was kind of realism on the level that you really hadn't seen from Joe comics before. But yeah, Chuckles was the big star of it, and that further refined kind of what Devil's Due had started and made him into, well, really, he was a badass. And
yeah,
so, you know, so yeah, since then everybody's kind of, hey, Chuckles, you know. But yeah, when we were kids, I really liked him, but I was, you know, weird because I also loved Crystal Ball, so I was,
yeah, strange. Chuckles was portrayed as kind of a badass. I remember seeing a few pictures of Joe Art where he's like in the water fighting Crocmaster, like hand-to-hand combat. I'm like, oh damn, that's crazy.
I remember one of his first appearances in the comic. He beat the hell out of Zanzibar, and then, you know, he was used a few times. Mostly, you know, an intel guy. He'd be briefing. He'd do the infiltration with the Joe team, or he'd at least be doing kind of a mission brief for him. But yeah, he didn't really get proper attention until, yeah, in the last decade.
I really like it when – that's the only thing that I kind of miss about not getting the comic books is every once in a while they do hit a home run with that kind of stuff. They do take these esoteric characters. They do put an awesome storyline together with you know, just eye-popping art and make you really totally reevaluate a character that you just had no love for, no attachment to as a child. It's like, you know, I remember this growing up and he was shit, but holy shit, somebody else just said, hey, you know what, we can make this guy cool, and they do.
Yeah,
I mean, that's one of the nice things that comic books can do for the toy line, but I don't think they do it often enough.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think the thing that made me when I bought him when I was a kid was that I used to like that show Miami Vice, and he reminded me, he had that Miami Vice feel, and I think that's why it attracted me to buy him, and I really liked him. I thought the whole little gun in the holster thing was pretty groundbreaking for the time.
Yeah, he was very Crockett and Tubbs. He was very Magnum P.I.
Yeah, serious. Very Magnum P.I.
He was a little bit Quantum Leap, so...
I haven't heard that, but I heard that show in a while, man.
That's one of my wife's favorite shows. I'm pretty sure we have the entire season or the entire series on DVD somewhere.
No, it was a good show. It's just been ages. But yeah, I mean, I think I lost him.
Hello.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm sorry. I thought I lost you. But yeah, no. I mean, that was the thing. That was the thing that attracted me to him. I just thought it was so cool because I remember growing up, Miami Vice was a cool show. Everybody wanted to be like them. You know, they were like the cool guys, and I just thought he had that whole thing. And even to this day, I always thought he was a cool figure. Everybody's like, ah, make fun of him. Ah, he looks kind of silly. He's ridiculous. I was like, man, ever.
Hey, Hawaiian shirts are always cool.
The hell yeah. Oh man.
But so I have a few of them. I could go cosplaying as a really fat Chuckles. It'd be awesome. I know. That's terrible. Although, I mean, I could do a bang up cosplay a sneak peek, really. Just give me some red pants. But
yeah, you know, that one still, I still don't understand that one. The card art on sneak peek always gets me.
And he looks kind of weird. His face, like his cheeks, kind of look like he has blush on him almost.
Yeah, he's the art in on the package. Yeah, he's kind of baby face looking, and then the figure itself, he's really, I don't know. There's nothing that says special ops long range recon patrol about him.
Yeah, I mean he's a ranger, so you know I don't know how he got through the Q course.
A little bit more
Bragg.
Private tile from Full Metal Jacket than he should have been.
Yeah. That was also one of my
figure though. I mean, when I remember as a kid buying the figure, I got it when I was a real young age, and I really liked it. I really liked all the accessories and the little microphone. I thought it was a cool figure. The card art was a little weird though.
He's one of those. He's one of those characters that it took people a long time to take a second look at him, and you gotta read the file card and you have to forget about the figure, forget about the card art, and approach it in your mind the same way Brian approached the custom that he made, where he actually looks like a ranger. Like, this dude, he looks like a badass.
That's another one of my favorite customs is my sneak peek custom. You know, I switched out his pyroscope for a drone and, you know, made him look like he was long range recon.
Well, the pyroscope, when I was a kid, it seemed kind of like a nifty accessory, but it's also one of those things that, looking back, there's no way that a combat ready guy is going to carry that massive.
Right.
I mean, it's more like the submarine. Yeah, the periscope is very appropriately sized for installing on a submarine, but not actually carrying it into the field. And then that's why it cracked me up when the club did their version for the subscription service and they invested a bunch of money in new tooling for a brand new periscope, and it's again a giant, cumbersome periscope. And I'm just like, if you wanted to do a periscope, why not? You know how our technology advances and our devices keep getting smaller and smaller with more capability? The periscope, if they wanted to do the periscope, could have been kind of like a half size handheld thing,
a little bit more at least.
Like, how about something that is not the size of the figure that it comes with? Just an idea.
That's why I went with a drone.
Brian had the right idea. A drone. I mean, drones, the recon drones that they use and stuff, they do a way better job than this guy in the jungle holding up this 38-pound periscope that, you could probably – well, even if you couldn't see him, a sniper would see that periscope and say, oh, I'm going to shoot that.
Right.
But yeah,
it was a little over the top. It was a little over the top, but it was, as a kid, it was pretty fun. I mean, it wasn't one of the best figures, but if it was like, you know, there was only a few left, then you would grab it. It was cool for that.
I loved it as a kid. I can neither explain nor defend that, but
yeah, it's all good, man.
Yeah, well, you're a big Blowtorch fan too, and
yeah,
you can't defend or explain that.
Nope.
But then look, I mean, I said in my one episode, my favorite figure from 1988 is Spearhead. So again,
you know,
I can defend it, but I can't really explain it.
I like the Fun School version. The Fun School version was really cool. Kind of looked like the Night Force one.
Yeah, I you know what, I think it's my attachment to the original version from when I was a kid, because I had a bunch of Night Force figures when I was a kid, but I didn't have, like, I had Repeater and I had Falcon and, you know, whatever figures were bundled with them, but they didn't have them all. And I remember immediately rejecting Night Force Falcon because he didn't have camouflage. And I rejected, the Night Force Repeater because he didn't have camouflage. And, well, just a couple weeks ago, I got a new Night Force Crazy Legs because, hey, tactical. But he's, you know, I had a few of them, but Spearhead is not one of the ones that I had. So I'm still biased for the original, but the Fun School version was, yeah, I can get behind that. It's a, it's a little bit like the Night Force version with, you know, slightly different colors, but he came with a lime green backpack, so that made no sense.
Yeah, that was.
But
The Night Force I thought was executed very poorly. I remember when I sold mine, everybody's like, "Oh, how come you're selling your Night Force stuff?" I was like, "Man, to be honest with you, it's a great idea." But it was, in my opinion, it was executed very poorly and very cheaply. Like you said, there was no camouflage. It was black and green. I was like, it was mediocre at best. That's why I don't know why everybody's going apeshit for it right now.
I never went apeshit for any of those repaints. Tiger Force, Python Patrol, Night Force, any of that stuff.
Well, okay, a little bit of background on the Night Force. Toys R Us wanted their own subline of figures, and they told – and. That they basically wanted recently released figures in new colors with vehicles to supplement them, and there wasn't a whole lot of budget for it. That is why they have more simplistic paint apps for the most part. There's no camouflage. There's a lot more like blocks of color on them versus really different, like Shockwave, he's gray and kind of that dark green gray color, you know, with black mask, and Outback is that same kind of dark green gray color, where really his only paint app is the survival lettering and the red beard, and you know, they're very. They're not very complex colors or paint schemes, but that was sort of the directive, was we're not going to price the subline any higher than the rest of the line, really. But they wanted an exclusive, and so they took a bunch of vehicles too, and then they did a really questionable thing, because, oh, cool, tactical black figure, you know, vehicles, and bright fucking orange cannons and missiles and glow-in-the-dark stickers, which are cool, but
not on, yeah, Night Force, man. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I agree. It was, I mean, at the time, what I had, you know, at the time when I was a kid, what I had, I did like them, but yeah, looking back, it is poorly executed. It's,
oh, very,
it's
poorly
a lot executed. Of, you know, I mean, some of the character choices, even though, yeah, because the first line in 88 all used 87 figures, and then the second line in 89 all used 88 figures, but a lot of the character choices also didn't make a whole lot of sense. Charbroil at night,
right?
Really?
A flame trooper at night, because you won't notice him coming.
You know, actually, the one I really regret selling was the Lightfoot. That was the only one I really liked. The rest of them I thought were like, eh, but I thought the Lightfoot looked cool with the color change, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, I agree on that.
It didn't fit the line, I'm going to tell you that.
Well, he was no longer bright yellow. I mean, he is a little bit of a chocolate bar, so, but that...
It's practical that colors, was, though.
And just like Crazy Legs, it is a much needed... It's a much needed subdued color scheme, but then you got like Nightfall Shockwave, and it's in no way an improvement on the original Shockwave because he's a police SWAT guy. Why does he need a nighttime tactical version? Some of them made sense. Spearhead, Outback, Tunnel Rat. These guys made sense. Why do you need a nighttime operations psych out? I don't know, but okay.
I kind of get the psych out. I mean, you know, doing psych ops at night. That's when a lot of that stuff goes on.
But why? Why did he need? Because psyops, they can do that at any time of the day.
Part of that's disorienting your enemy, keeping them awake, and not letting them sleep. That's a big part of that.
But he can do that. He can do that from afar. I don't know. It's odd. I don't. And to this day. It's as much as market prices have stabilized on a lot of vintage stuff, the 94 stuff is still crazy expensive. And I don't know if it's because it was an exclusive or if it's simply because people just love that sub-team that much. I'm not really sure.
I think it's probably a little of both.
It is a big deal. And then the vehicles are way, way overpriced, all of them.
It's insane.
And it's like that's one of those nooks of the vintage Joe line where the market has never cooled. There's always been a steady demand for it. But
I don't know. In the late '90s, it was pretty easy to get. The late '90s. That's when I got mine. I remember just picking them up at Frankenstein's or other little places. Were pretty easy to get, man. I don't remember them being that hard until 2006 and up is what I remember is people started paying big money for them.
Well, that was because a lot of those people, either they had them as kids and they wanted them back, or they were ones that, like when you were a kid, if you didn't have a Toys R Us near you, you didn't know about Night Force. It's the same reason why the mission to Brazil is such a big deal, because if you didn't have a Toys R Us, or your Toys R Us didn't have those, you didn't know about them. I got the Night Force stuff because for two Christmases in a row, my grandparents went to Toys R Us and they bought me a bunch of them. But otherwise, I don't, because my dad was in the Army, we lived all over the country, and a lot of places we lived, they didn't have a Toys R Us, but there was one here in Western New York where I live now. So my grandparents did frequently shop there. But whereas the mission to Brazil, I didn't know about that until yojo.com showed me what it was back in the late 90s. And there's another one. You can get Mainframe and Dial Tone for, they're not cheap, but they're at least reasonably priced. But that's because they both have red pants and they both look ridiculous. Whereas Claymore is expensive, and then the Mission Brazil wetsuit and leather neck, they're definitely pricier.
I love that wetsuit is dope with the all silver.
That wetsuit was an innovative color scheme that I don't know where they came up with it, but it was brilliant. And
I loved it. I remember first seeing it, I was like, dude, I gotta have that shit.
It is an eye-catching figure, and it was an interesting new look for Wetsuit, who even Brian and I joked on the show the last time we talked about Wetsuit. the original figure looked like it would fit in great with the coral reef.
Right.
But the silver version, it was tactical, it was stealthy, and it was just interesting. And and it's funny because all the modern versions of vintage figures they've done, nobody ever up, you know, in between the club and Hasbro, they've never updated the silver wetsuit.
You're right. That's a good one. They should.
Because even when the club did Mission to Brazil 2 for the convention set, they went with a BDU's uniform version of wetsuit, which is one of my favorite figures the club has ever done.
Yeah, that's a Grail figure of mine that I'll never own but really want.
Well, because I remember speculation at the time saying, well, maybe one of the convention extra figures will be the diving suit version of wetsuit in silver. And I remember being shocked when it wasn't. And they've still never updated it. And Hasbro did a desert version of Leatherneck, but they never did wetsuit. And the club, they decided to go without the red pants on both mainframe and dial tone because even they said they're jungle fighters. What the hell?
Yeah. I don't have that one, actually. That's the only one I don't have is the dial tone. I didn't care for it much.
It's – you mean the original? Yeah, it's fugly. That's – you know, mainframe – all right, the dark red pants are strange, but at least it kind of – you know, with the tan shirt, I guess you can kind of justify it, but the bright red pants on dial tone – are ridiculous. And on top of that, the rest of his color scheme looks like he threw up on himself. So
it's like the olive green, I believe. Isn't it like an olive green, you know?
Yeah, he's got olive green web gear, the sweater vest is brown, the shirt's black, and his knee pads and his boots are the same olive green, and his pants are bright red. Not as bright as Lifeline, but still bright red.
Yeah, they're to go. You know which one's underrated, and I think is really sharp looking is the Sonic Fighter one. You don't people don't talk about it, but that blue looks sharp on him.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Dial Tone's one of those characters that he made perfect sense for the Sonic Fighters, and that was an absolutely great repaint.
I thought it was better than the original.
He was a great figure. Then Sonic Law, he was basically a desert version of Law, which was awesome. And then Sonic Dodger, you know, just because. It was a decent figure, but it wasn't really an improvement on the original Dodger, and it wasn't really an alternate uniform. It was just a differently colored Dodger. Sonic Fighters excelled with the Lamprey. It's ridiculous. It's like, but it's kind of like a rescue medic version of the Lamprey or something. I don't know. It's a traffic cone, but it's awesome.
And the gold Viper too. The golden red Viper was pretty sharp.
Oh, I really like that version of the Viper. It was, I remember even when I was a kid, a lot of people thought that was kind of like a desert Viper, and that worked. And that red faceplate was amazing.
It was cool, way cool. I regret it. I don't know if you're on Instagram, but there was a dude called Blind Snake, and he was selling them cheap. I think he had like 50 of them. He was selling them for like 12 bucks or something like that, 12 or 13 bucks. Mint.
Jeez, yeah, did you get any of them?
I got, like, one of them. I regret because I bought a bunch of other stuff. That's why. And I was like, man, I should have got two or three more.
Yeah, no kidding.
Nothing to start, bro.
But, hey, where's Blanca? What'd you do with her?
Hey, you guys can talk to her. I've talked enough now. No, you guys can talk to her.
No, you guys know more about G.I. Joe's. I'm just listening and learning.
Yeah, but you buy you buy interestingly colored black major figures like that fugly Hazard Trooper. That thing is so hideous, but I need one.
I love that one. It became my favorite.
I mean, he's lime green. He's lime green with purple knee pads. It's awesome. Hideously beautiful.
Freaking cool.
That's why. I mean, what do you think of like the Battlecore stuff, which was like 93 and 94 with all the neon colors? What's your take on it?
Me or Blanca?
You.
Both of you. Well, you like Eco Warriors, so I guess you're behind it.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Actually, the Battle Corps, actually, you know, so there was a few of them that were actually painted decent and actually looked like normal good figures. And there was some that were neons. You know, there were some good ones, there were some bad ones, you know, like anything else. But I like some of the ideas. They were pretty interesting. I wish they would have released that Baroness, to be honest with you.
That Baroness was an awesome design. So was Dr. Mindbender.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that man, Mindbender looked awesome.
The coolest thing about that Dr. Mindbender was he had the scars sculpted into his face that basically showed where the cybernetic pieces off the 93 figure were taken out. I mean, that was cool, but
yeah,
albeit that like never happened. Well, Brian's a big fan of like the Battle Corps Beachhead, the first one anyways.
I don't know. Like I said, there was some really good ones. I mean, I could tell you like four or five that I thought were like really good. But there's a lot of like Crimson Guard Immortal, which was a good design but badly painted. I mean, it's just terrible, the color scheme on that one.
Yeah, I like that figure myself. I ended up
just don't like that yellow.
Yeah, the yellow is not my favorite on it. But the Crimson Guard Immortal, I love the whole concept. I ended up, before the modern stuff came out, I ended up doing a whole line of specialty Vipers based off the Immortal. So, you know, it was like I had a Night Viper Immortal, an Alley Viper Immortal, stuff like that. You know, they were specialty Vipers.
Yeah, there was a lot of great ideas at that time, and just unfortunately nobody was into it.
Well, here's a question. Danny, do you own any of the foreign release Joes? Like, the releases from like Brazil or Action Force in the UK or anything like that?
I'm sorry, I missed that. Somebody just had called and it kind of put you guys on hold. I'm sorry, what did I miss?
No, I just wondered if you owned any like the Brazil release or the European release Action Force figures or anything.
You know, I have a friend who has all of them. His name is David. He's on Instagram. He's 3¾. That dude has every Fun School Brazil, and he tried to get me into it a few years ago, but the prices keep me away, man. I think I have, like, maybe three or four. I have two Eco Warrior Brazilian figures, and I want to get a few more, but it's just outrageous, bro. They're awesome. Ooh. Don't get me wrong. I love the UK.
Which ones do you have?
I have Biologics.
Do you have?
Yeah, I got the Biological with his file card, and then I have Biomassa.
Biological, is that the sneak peek-headed guy?
No, that's the one who looks like Sci-Fi.
Okay, all right. Oh, that's right.
Wow, an Eco-Warrior that JD like doesn't know who it is.
Right. Wait, what?
I said an Eco Warrior that JD doesn't know who it is off the top of his head.
No, I couldn't remember. No, dude, I couldn't remember which one had sneak peeks at and which one had
wasn't it the sci-fi
head?
I think that needs to be your next tattoo. Is the Eco Warrior, the Brazil Eco Warriors, under right underneath your regular one?
Nah, there's no room for them. Otherwise, I might. but. I mean, the Brazilian Sky Patrol, I mean, they were all new characters. I mean, that's super awesome. But, yeah, the prices on those are astronomical.
Yeah, I mean, even when I was in the early days, I remember seeing those things for a lot of money.
Yeah, and you know what? The foreign release figures are another place where the market really has never cooled on them. I mean, you're not really going to find good deals on them. I mean, that's why I've been making customs of some of them, because, I mean, I'll never own the originals because of the price. And, And, you know, they're not, and they're not easy. Even if the prices were reasonable, they're not easy to get. Like, you basically, you either have to be ready to pay up on eBay, or you kind of have to know somebody who's got them and they're willing to sell them to you at an affordable price.
Actually, I got lucky. I don't know if you guys know John Smith. He was a big-time G.I. Joe seller for a little bit. I know he's kind of disappeared on Facebook. He actually got me a good deal on Biologica with the file card. His friend needed money, and he sold it to me for, I think, like $95 or something like that.
See, the prices on the foreign figures hurt, but if you can get them, it's awesome. The coolest thing about these foreign release figures is the novelty of them. I mean, how many of these characters they created for their own lines. I mean, it's really awesome. I mean, I like the early Action Force stuff where they had a bunch of exclusive repaints. I mean, it's cool stuff, but good luck affording any of it.
Yeah, it's. I like the Hit and Run. They're Tiger Force Hit and Run. I've been after that for a while, but I still can't get a good price on that one. I want that one bad, though.
Yeah. Tiger Force sneak peek. The only way to make sneak peek even more strange is to put the Tiger Force color scheme on him.
or Psych Out. I didn't understand that one.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I didn't understand anything.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks like a crossing guard or a construction worker. Well, thing about Psych Out's repaints cracked me up because his hair color kept changing. And one of my hangups with the line is changing hair colors. It just irritates me. So
like low light.
When I
yeah.
Okay, the 1991 figure, I like to think it's actually just camouflage in the beard, you know, like you put the, you know, the camouflage paint, you know, on the beard. Okay, I can go with it like that. But the only real exception is Hawk, but that's because my first Hawk figure had brown hair, so I was okay with that color. But anytime the hair colors changed, annoyed me. I look at those three different Psych Out figures. I'm like, one's blonde, one's brunette, one's got black hair. I'm like, the hell, they look like three different characters. aside the G.I. Joe, what kind of geeky stuff are y'all into?
Besides G.I. Joe, I would say the second line that I'm really, really into, I just don't have a lot of vintage of it anymore, is Star Wars. Especially the last 2 or 3 years, I've really gotten back into buying what's going on now, kind of. I have some vintage stuff, but not much.
Are you buying the limited articulation stuff?
Yeah, because I just miss it, man. I remember I have a lot of the stuff from the 2000s, too, where it was fully – remember when it was actually fully articulated? I have a bunch of that stuff. But I like it. Yeah. Some of them in the packages. I just leave them in the packages. They just – yeah, I don't know. I'm just a Star Wars geek like that. So to me, it's just like I have to have them. I don't know what it is. One of those things, and I'm like, they're all right. But I seem to buy all of them when I go to the store. So I guess, I don't know.
That's funny. So do you have the Last Jedi stuff?
I bought some of the stuff. Some of it I'm not gonna buy. Some of it's like, you know. I like the Ball of Tick because I was a huge fan of the whole Conjure Club scene and the Force Awakens. I thought it was so ridiculous, but I liked it. So I was like, they should make that, dude, and they never did. And then they did again with one of those Wrathars. I thought that was a pretty cool little set. I just need more movement, man. They got to bring that back.
Yeah, what irritates me is the whole Star Wars thing's just a big irritation for me because, and we talked about this on the last show, is that they've said, you know, they've decreased the points of articulation on the 3 3/4 inch figure, claiming that, you know, oh, it's too expensive, but oh, here's a 6 inch figure of the same figure you already own with better sculpting and better paint apps for $20, $25, depending on where you buy it. And it's frustrating. And then, you know, when they do put out decent 3 3/4 inch figures, the Star Wars black figures, they're only available at Walmart. And those things are hard as hell to get. But
yeah,
I mean,
almost
but the
impossible.
Death Troopers were fantastic. And the Scarif Stormtroopers were awesome too. Luckily, I found a Walmart here in the sticks in the about half an hour from where I live, and they got a ton of those figures last year, and I bought a bunch of them.
I didn't see any of them over here in LA, man. Where I didn't see that last wave, the one where it, any of those. To be honest with you, I looked all the time at all the stores. Nothing. I didn't see anything. All they had was just old Force Awakens and old the Rogue One stuff, like the first wave of it. We didn't get any of that last wave. I know a few people found some stuff, but I didn't see any of it.
The distribution sucks. Yeah, and it's just irritating. And then I saw a review today, read a review about it's a different version of like the Imperial Guard. It's called the Praetorian Guard. That's coming out in the new 3¾-inch series, and it looks fantastic. So I might have to go hunt that one down in the next couple of days.
See, you know, what I don't understand is that Star Wars went back to being the 5POA, but you got Leonardo over there doing those new corpse figures, and they're like all multi-jointed now. Even they've gotten away from the diaper crotch kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
I just don't understand why they can't do that with Star Wars. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense.
Well, and the rumor is that they're going back to the vintage line with the highly articulated figures next year, maybe, I think is what I've heard. So I've seen some of the previews for that, and they do look pretty decent. So, yeah, look for it next year, because I think we're going to see some of the we're going to see the return of the vintage line finally, which will make me happy.
I think the reason why well, that'd be cool. Something cool to look forward to. I think the reason why the 5POA didn't bug me, because I remember in the mid-90s when they re-released it, you know, all of them were like that, you know, but they were fun figures and they reminded me of a kid, you know, because that's how Star Wars were as a kid. You know, they didn't have much movement, but they were still really cool. And I think that's why it doesn't bug me, I guess, as much as it does a lot of other people, because I just remember it from a kid and that's how they were as a kid.
Yeah, see, and I can see that if it's going from the nostalgic point of view, and at that point I want the vintage figures, you know, I want the ones that I grew up with as a kid, for them to have some of my favorite action figures of all time. You know, I really like the, the video game, the Force Unleashed. There was a couple of box sets that had just some amazing figures in them, and to go from, you know, highly articulated, lots of accessories, really cool thought out figures, to go into 5 points of articulation just seems like a huge step back for me, and I don't want to take a step backwards, even for nostalgia's sake, especially when
I know a lot of people don't.
When you're seeing these new figures coming out, you know, you want a decent. You see these new characters coming out. You want a decent figure of that character. I want a decent figure of that character. I don't want a 5-point articulation. If I'm feeling nostalgic and I want a vintage TIE fighter pilot, that's fine. But if I want a First Order TIE fighter pilot, I want him to be highly articulated. I want him to be as modern.
Yeah.
I want him to be modern. I don't want a vintage. Because to me, it doesn't mix right. It's like oil and vinegar. It doesn't sit right together. To have new, you know, the Force Awakens stuff in a New Hope style. It doesn't seem right to me. It's just, I don't know. I can't explain it.
Yeah, it's a little odd. I mean, I get that point. But to me, I guess that's just the way I am. I'm pretty simple about it. I'm not real complex. And a lot of that stuff, you know, I'm pretty – like I go to the thrift store. I go thrift store shopping, and I even pick up some of those 5POAs if they look cool enough. You know, maybe that's just me. Like that kind of stuff doesn't bug me as much. You know, because I even like some of the Leonard, the T-crotch stuff too, some of the stuff that people hate. So I don't know. It just doesn't bug me that much, you know. To me, if it's a figure's fun, it's fun. I don't know. I guess a little simple in there.
Nothing wrong with that either at all. I mean, that's – it's good to see that are people that like this stuff and that, you know, that it does go somewhere other than just sitting on the shelf. And to me, some of it is, you know, I customize so much that, you know, I don't like the decreased articulation in the lower end sculpting for stuff that I want to customize.
See, with me, I customize, but I like taking, like, you know, photographs. I like going outside to the park or in my pad or whatever. And I think one of the things that hurts my Star Wars pictures is the figures. The figures look great, but I can't pose them like I can with the Joes. Like, you know, I can put, like, 25th Joes, like, in different poses or vintage or whatever. And you can do these crazy battle scenes like I did tonight. I posted one on my page, which was like a straight-up battle scene where everybody's posed. You can't do that. Well, that's the only thing with these new Star Wars figures. So what I've been doing is some of the heads are actually really good. So I took some of the females off and put them on Cobra bodies, like the female Cobra bodies, because the head is good. And then, you know, with the Cobra body, it looked pretty cool. Like I bought one of those A-wings, and the figure, the head is really cool. The body, yeah, it's pretty poor. But I put it on one of those female Cobra bodies and put a jetpack. It would look pretty dope, like a Cobra female jetpack, you know, trooper or something. And, the faces are good, and they work well with some of the G.I. Joe bodies. Sometimes you got to put a little glue gun inside the little hole in the head, put a little lubricant so it'll stay on there and still move around. It'll have a little bit of mobility.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they look cool like that.
Yeah, and see, I think that's awesome. I was talking to somebody, I don't know, not too long ago, that I think a good custom lives and dies by how decent your head sculpt is. You know, if you don't have a decent head sculpt – I mean, you know, if you looked for custom made parts, 90% of what you'll see out there is, you know, is head sculpts. And I think so many of my customs have depended on, because I mean, you can take anything and bash it to anything and sculpt it on anything. But, you know, it's really, if you get a head sculpt that looks like a particular actor or, you know, a particular character from something that didn't, you know, from a scene that didn't get a figure, you know, those are the customs that really stand out in my mind, because if the head sculpt nails it, you know, it sells the rest of the custom to me.
Oh, you're right on the money, dude. I have a friend named, I posted some of his stuff. His name is Total Madness Custom. He works in Hollywood. He does G.I. Joe customs, Marvel customs, and he does all zombie customs. I posted a lot of his work on my page, and he's one who taught me how to custom. And man, that dude, he did some crazy stuff. I don't know if you're too familiar with him.
No,
are you on Instagram?
No, I don't have an Instagram. No.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Instagram is a pretty cool little community, but, yeah, he does a lot of the customs like that. And what he's been doing, he's actually finding these celebrity heads, these molds, and painting them and putting them on like suits or Cobra bodies. And they sell for a lot of money. He's making a lot of money off of them, man. It's crazy how people are paying for Daniel Craig action figure, bro. They're paying like 40 bucks, 45, you know, 50 bucks. He's on a Cobra body, or they put him on some, you know, random fodder body. And people are paying big money for that. That, Arnold, Sylvester Stallone, you know, it goes on. It's crazy,
yeah,
though.
I did a couple of – a buddy of mine took the NECA Arnold Schwarzenegger from Predator figures, mold and cast the head, and then shrunk it down to 3 3/4 inch. So I did a couple of Arnold Schwarzenegger from Predator customs a couple months ago, and then I just did one of him from the Commando movie too. So
yeah,
and those have been some of the figures that I've gotten the most responses from, because it's, you know, it looks just like him.
You know which one looks like Arnold a lot, which was the canceled Jurassic Park figure. I don't know if you guys, the one that has a Mike Tyson tattoo on the face.
Yeah, I've got that one. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me a lot of Arnold. It just has that ridiculous tattoo on it.
Yeah, and see, I don't care what the figure looks like if it's nicely sculpted, because I primer all of my figures, all of my customs. So I spray primer on them, just a flat gray primer, and then paint them. So to me, you know, as long as I can get a decent figure bashed together, that's all I really need.
Yeah. So do you actually sand them before you put the paint on top of it, or you just spray the primer and then you paint on top of it right away?
You know, I really should sand stuff. You know, if I'm doing a commission, I'll take the time and sand it down. But for what I don't do a lot with my customs after I get done with them. So I'm not too worried about the paint shipping, because I won't be messing around with it a whole bunch, they'll go on display. I've got a glass cabinet that I display my customs in, or I make my own cards. So I'll do that. You know, I'll card the custom, and then to make it look like it's a figure that I bought in the store. And then hang it on the wall. So at that point in time, I'm not worried about whether or not it's going to have a paint rub or not.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like, what I would do is, I never used a primer. I would clean it with like dish liquid to remove any like, you know, grease or any kind of stuff like that. And I would actually scuff it up with the red Scotch-Brite, which is what, like about 150 grit. I would scuff it up real good, dry it, and then I would paint, kind of, because that's how they do with cars, because I work in the auto body industry. And they usually scuff up stuff for, you know, real good for adhesion, and it works real well for figures. I scuff it up, you know, the whole figure, even the, not really the face, but any area that I'm going to paint, and I scuff it up real good, and the paint stays real good. I get real good coverage like that.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. When I first started, it's funny you should mention engine auto work, because I was using engine primer for years and years and years, until they started changing, messing with the formula, and it wouldn't. I ruined a couple of my builds, some of my really complex builds, with some bad primer. So I use a modeling primer, and I just, you know, the paint stays. I mean, that's what primer's for. It's to,
yeah,
is to get to for paint to adhere to. So I'm a big fan of primer. I swear by it. And I know I talked JD into using it, and I primer all of my figures, all of my customers.
Yeah, I was going to do that on my next project, because I'm going to be working on a Cobra transport vehicle, and I'm thinking about primering for the first time, because I'm used to doing it on cars and stuff like that, so it should be easy on a smaller scale, but I've never really used it before. Like I said, I usually just scuff up the surface real good.
Yeah, I don't use the primer too much anymore. I really just sand the shit out of them now.
Really?
It works pretty well.
I mean, you know, it's not going to prevent all the paint chipping, but it'll do pretty well. I mean, not so much on like the joints and stuff, but like especially the leg joints, the knee joints and stuff. You know, the figure's disassembled when I paint it, so outcoated in super glue, like the brush on stuff, and it'll hold the paint. Then I put it back together. The problem is the primer that I started using, I can only get it at a hobby shop that's quite a drive from my house, and honestly, it's just the proximity. I mean, it's so inconvenient to get there that I just can't, you know, I just can't get out there very often. So especially since I got back into the O-ring stuff, where most of it's hard plastic anyways, yeah, I just sand the shit out of it.
Yeah, actually, I figured out a way for the knee joints was that I was actually using the X-Acto knife and shaving some of the joint areas down, and so able to move the knees back and forth without it chipping the paint.
Yeah, I do that too. But yeah, I got this Loctite brush on super glue that I use, and sometimes even on parts that aren't the joints, like for whatever reason, the plastic that the torso is made out of, there's spots where the paint just won't stick. I just brush on the super glue over that too. I mean, long term, I'm not sure what kind of effect it'll have, you know, on the longevity of the figure, but I'm not so much worried about that. It'll be one of those things that, you know, that eventually the customs will end up being stored someplace, and I'll look back at them later anyways, and whether the paint's still intact or not, I'll either think, hey, that's still a pretty cool custom, or I'll think, hey, what the hell was I thinking with that? So,
pretty much. So
if a bunch of these are more of what the hell was I thinking, then it'll be a matter of, hey, the paint's wrecked. That's okay, because, wow, it's hideous anyways. So, but...
I had a few questions for you guys, actually, when we get past this.
Oh, go for it.
All right. That was one of the things. I want to go back to an earlier conversation just to talk a little about it, was being in the mid from the group and all that. I mean, I believe this is the first time I've run a group. I've helped, you know, before in a few other groups. I mean, you being a little bit more experienced than me, what do you see in the group that's good, and what do you see about the group that's kind of that it needs improvement on?
Well, honestly, I can't think of a thing that really needs to be improved. You know what? I really like the community atmosphere of it. I really like seeing the consistency of posts from people. Like everybody in the group, you know, it seems like we're all friends, you know, even though,
yeah, it does.
You know,
cool.
Even though a lot of times, you know, we don't know each other in real life, but you can tell by the way people post things that if we did meet up, you know, we could be friends in real life too.
Yeah.
It's,
I agree with that.
It's just got such a great community spirit where everybody's really just there for the fun. There's not a whole lot of, you know, people starting drama and stupid shit that, you know, it's fun. It's never not fun. And a couple of the other Joe groups that I'm in, it's the same thing. I mean, yeah, you're not real strict with the rules, but it's like, you don't have to be. Like, the moderators, you know, obviously they don't have a lot of work to do because there's really not much in the way of people saying or doing stuff that you have to moderate. I think that was
one of the easiest
things. Everybody kind of knows, like, just to be chill. See, it's really weird.
I think that's one of the things that we one of the things that the same type of thing that we did when we ran our own forum, you know, I don't know what, 10 years ago, was that we didn't have a lot of rules. And, you know, it's like the tighter you make the rules, the more people want to buck the rules. So if you don't have that many rules to break, then people are like, they don't go out of their way to be assholes about it.
Exactly. I
mean, no matter what, sometimes you're going to get somebody on there that just, you know, either they're having a bad day, so, you know, they're a little easy to rile up, so they get a little heated, or maybe they're just, you know, maybe it's sometimes people, you know, they want to say something just to get under people's skin, and, you know, if that's the case, you know, really just put them back in their place. But for the most part, you don't have to worry about that. Like, everybody's pretty cool with each other. And
yeah,
I mean, really, that's the best you can hope for. I mean, even though really the only forums, I mean, I don't really use too many forums anymore, except for like Joe Customs, you know, those were the same kind of forums that I would gel with, where there wasn't a whole lot of stupid crap that happened. And if it did, you know, somebody would shut it down and, you know, that'd be the end of it. And, you know, it'd be fun after that. So, I mean, I can't really think of anything that needs to be improved because, you know, there's nothing that's actually wrong.
So this is the first time I'm running it, so this is all kind of just like doing as we go, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's a pretty group. You know, it's a pretty good group of people that's on there, and you know, every once in a while, you know, you'll see on some groups that some drama from another group will spill over, but I don't see that with the green shirts at all. Like, you know, whatever happens on other groups seems to stay away, and, you know, that's the best you can hope for, really.
Yeah. With Ryan, everybody's talented. I love seeing everybody's stuff.
I mean, I got a couple of customs that hopefully I'll be posting in the next week or so if I get off my lazy ass and actually, you know, take pictures.
You gonna mail that part out to me so I can post my custom there, JD?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, give me about 6 more reminders and I will. Right. Yeah, dude, it's terrible, but you know what? I got kids. I've been sick for the last week. You know, give me a break here.
That was 2 months ago.
Yeah, well, you know, I forgot. I have the memory of a goldfish, dude. So, but I mean, really, I mean, for a group that's been there since March and you haven't really had a whole lot of problems, says a lot about the people that have joined the group. I mean, you know, you just, I don't know, I haven't seen anybody on there that's just a douchebag. I mean, as long as you don't get, you know, Aubrey Sitters in on there, you know.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
I mean, you know, not to call the guy out or anything, but, you know, fuck that guy.
Oh, I'll call him out. Fuck that guy.
But.
Yeah, fuck them.
You tell him.
I mean, really, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, none of our 16 listeners are going to care. But, I mean, it's a. I don't know. It's pretty impressive. And I like how, you know, sometimes you'll see stuff that's not necessarily Joe related, but, you know, it's cool. Like, you know, people put the strips up of like the, you know, they'll throw Star Wars figures and stuff in there. And that's generally amusing to me. You know what kind of, you know, what kind of gets to me sometimes is
what's the
photos that combine modern figures with O-ring figures. Oh my God, does that rankle me? I just
people hate that, bro.
Hey, I do that. I don't
understand. I don't understand how. I look at them. I'm like, my God, they're two vastly different toy lines. It's just, it's disturbing to me. But, hey, you know what? It's one of those things where. You know, you know, it's not, no, there's nothing wrong with it. I don't understand. See, for my storage purposes, I don't even keep them in the same containers. But that's because I just
that's
I look
not
at them.
Right there.
No, not me.
Yeah, you don't keep them together.
Now, I mean, every once in a while, I might use a modern, like, head or something on a custom, but. Oh God, the actual figures. I don't. It's just so strange to me. Like I guess to me, it's like putting Marvel Universe figures and O-ring Joes together. I'm just like, wow.
I do that too.
How? I'm too OCD. I can't do it. I can't. But then, like, the Marvel Universe figures, like, the comic book style, you know, with the spandex and the muscles and stuff, I can't even mix those with the movie stuff, where everything's a little more realistic, because I look at displays where you've got comic book Steve Rogers next to movie Steve Rogers, and I'm just like, ah. Bad does not compute. So yeah, like I've seen photos of like movie Iron Man mixing it up with comic Iron Man. I'm
yeah.
like, no, it's wrong. It's wrong in many, many ways. I just ew.
Oh man.
But yeah, I'm just OCD like that. I can't help it.
You know, yeah, I started doing that in some of my pictures, and somebody called me out for that. I was shocked.
Well, see, that's the thing, is even though it bugs me, I would never tell anybody else how they should be doing things. I will say I don't understand how you can, but that's like somebody telling Aubrey Sitterson he shouldn't be posting insensitive things. Oh, wait, never mind.
Oh, man.
Oh, that fucking guy. Like you said, freedom of speech is great, but man, some shit you just shouldn't say.
Yeah, you gotta keep that shit in your head, bro, because once it lets out, you just fucked yourself.
Yeah. But, I mean, what do you, like, all right, you're a Star Wars geek. What, all right, here we go. What'd you think of The Force Awakens?
I like some of it. Some of it I didn't like anything else. It's you know, there was a lot of parts I thought should have been taken out of the movie, and there was a lot of parts that I did enjoy. I liked it the first few times. Now when I watch it, I kind of cringe a little bit more than I did when I first watched it. I don't know. Maybe I've changed the last 2 years.
Well, what do you think of the news that Colin Trevorrow is no longer directing episode 9? J.J. Abrams is back to direct episode 9.
Oh, yeah. People are trying to petition for him not to. It's hilarious.
I'm just, you know. You know what? I'm okay with it. I'm just curious how it's gonna pan out, because, I mean, you know, I don't share the criticism at all that The Force Awakens was a remake of A New Hope. I don't see it. I mean, I can see the parallel plot points, but
yeah.
See, and I still think that it is basically, but I see what they're getting at. That yeah, it's just the Force. It's just A New Hope. But you know what? That movie wasn't aimed for people our age. It was aimed at the younger generation to get them to remember Star Wars the way we remember Star Wars. It was to get them into the. It was to bring new people into it and give them the same experience that we had the first time we got into Star Wars.
But you know what?
That makes sense.
I can't see it as a remake. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that was, okay, you had the super weapon and yeah, you had the TIE fighters and the X-Wings, but I don't know. I'm curious if episode 8, directed by Rian Johnson, is really as different as, as different from other Star Wars movies and different from The Force Awakens, as the rumors and the hype are suggesting it will be. My question is, if J.J. Abrams is back for 9, is it going to go off in bold new directions and kind of continue whatever The Last Jedi might be starting? Or is it going to go back to feeling more formulaic like Force Awakens? Because won't that be strange if you got kind of formulaic to really crazy different back to formulaic? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I'm hoping there's not a big disconnect between the feelings of the movie. You know, I'm kind of hoping that they'll be a little more brave with 9 and do some crazy shit, because I mean, I've seen other J.J. Abrams movies where they do think outside the box. So I'm kind of hoping that there's more interesting world building. And by world building, I mean actually planets that are fucking interesting. Because my one big criticism of Force Awakens is this. Desert planet, jungle planet, snow planet. Where have I seen that before? Oh, yeah, that's right. The original trilogy. I just want to see planets that are crazy different. Like some of the stuff that we saw in, the prequels, like Felucia.
Yeah.
That thing is like Alice in Wonderland.
It's like Alice in Wonderland on acid.
Exactly. I mean, Naboo had the jungle, or it had the forest parts, but it also had, you know, the underwater portion, and you have this big, you know, Victorian England looking, or Victorian Europe looking city, and I want to see real eye-catching cool stuff that isn't just a bunch of environments that basically just have one kind of setting. And that's my big problem with 7, was all the planets were just, there was nothing interesting about any of them. I mean, the closest we got was the 13 seconds that they spent on Hosnian Prime before they blew it into Stardust.
Yeah.
Where it was a little bit Coruscant. I remember people leaving this theater saying, oh, they blew up Coruscant because of the prequels. I'm like, well, that wasn't Coruscant, but boy, I can see where the confusion came in.
Yeah, because I sure as hell thought it was Coruscant.
Well, I don't know if that's what they were actually intending, and then later decided, oh, that's not Coruscant, that's Osnian Prime. Okay, sure it is. I don't,
because they never mentioned that in the movie, do they?
No, no, they never did. But then, you know, in episode three, you know, like I said, you had Felucia, but then you got Lava Planet, Mustafar, and I really enjoyed the pleasant surprise in Rogue One of seeing Mustafar again. I kind of like the idea that Darth Vader is so twisted that he builds his castle above, basically above the spot where Obi-Wan chopped his ass in half, you know? I mean, it's just, it was an interesting choice. I'm just, kind of hoping that the rest of the trilogy, you know, including Last Jedi, because, you know, we've seen like that weird salt planet with the red dirt or whatever that is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've seen the, island where crazy old Luke is hiding, but I don't know what the rest of the, you know, if there's other planets, I don't know what they're going to look like. So I'm looking forward to that. And then in 9, I really just want to see some more visionary design aspects that were kind of lacking with The Force Awakens. I mean, I like the idea of the First Order. I like the idea that the Empire disbanded but reorganized into this other thing. But I really don't like the idea that the only ships they have in the motor pool are, hey, TIE fighters in black and slightly different Star Destroyers.
And look, slightly different AT-ATs.
A little more creative. But I don't know.
I don't know. My take on stuff like that is it just feels like everything has been done. You know what I mean? It's like music now. It's like you listen to music and it sounds like something you already heard 10 years ago. And it's like that with movies, too. It's hard to be creative because everything feels like it's been done. Doesn't it? Well, at times you see these movies, you're like, oh, I saw that in another movie.
Oh, frequently. In fact, I think it's getting to the point where it's true. There's not a lot of new ideas, or there are new ways to pull off the same ideas, but it is harder and harder.
Yeah.
You know, to get to that point, but I'm kind of hoping, well, one of my favorite things about the prequels, and I am a prequel supporter, I mean, I do like the movies, I mean, overall, not perfect, but, you know, I kind of like how crazy George got with some of it. You know, he went a little over the top with some of the planets, you know, he had...
It worked, though. I felt it worked.
It did work. Like some of the ship designs were absolutely nuts.
Awesome.
Yeah,
crazy.
That's what I'm kind of hoping we'll see with episode 8 is more crazy designs like we haven't seen in other Star Wars movies. And I'm kind of hoping that they'll do that with 9 because it's fine if it feels like episode 7 again, but I don't want it to look like episode 7 again. I can't that make any sense, but
like you said, that they did the first one like that to kind of give the new generation, you know, the feel that we got. I understand that. I don't think you're going to see that because they've already been introduced to that. So I think you will see something completely different. I don't think they're going to be. I don't think they're going to play it safe on this one. I think they're going to be a little bit more dangerous, and I think that's why people are.
Which is kind of what Empire was. So you know, I think they're still going to follow the formula, though.
No. The formula's okay. The problem will come in with.
The presentation of it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, because you're right. At the time in 1980, if you go back and you read reviews of The Empire Strikes Back, there were critics that really liked the movie and the way it was really different from Star Wars. And then there were critics that really did not like that it felt so different from Star Wars. But at the same time, then you got the fans that bitch that Force Awakens wasn't different enough from the original trilogy, but at the same time they're bitching that the prequels were too different from the original trilogy. So
hilarious.
You want different or you want the same. Or, yeah, I mean, do you want strange and interesting, or do you want old and familiar? I don't know. I mean, I guess it's because I like Star Wars and, you know, all the aspects. I mean, I really liked the Clone Wars. I really liked Rebels.
Yeah. That was fun.
You know, I'm a big fan of these things, and I want to see some of those, you know, some of that spirit in the new trilogy. But that's why I'm also excited about these spinoffs, because they can go off in further different directions. I mean, with Rogue One, I mean, we saw a planet that was basically ancient and had all kinds of landmarks from a time when life, you know, how it looked, you know, thousands of years before, you know, the Death Star blew it up, you know. But and then we had a whole tropical planet, which we had definitely never seen before. I want to see some new and interesting stuff.
I think that's what made that movie so enjoyable for me, was all the different scenery. It just seemed like a fresh, like a breath of fresh air to me. I don't know. That's just how it felt when I was watching. Well, like, this is completely different.
That's why I really liked the 3-minute long scene with Cassian on that planet it wasn't even a planet. It was like a mining colony that was set between like these two asteroids. It was very strange. But I loved it because it felt very Guardians of the Galaxy, and it was totally different. I want to see what these spinoffs. I want to see them try new things and go to different places and use other characters, but I don't want them to not feel like Star Wars either.
You got to have a little bit of that in it. I mean, you don't want to go too far.
I don't want that to feel like anything we're watching doesn't fit in with Star Wars, but that's because Star Wars is such a expansive entity that it's hard to do things that totally feel un-Star Wars, and I hope that they don't. But yeah, let's not keep cloning the same movies. I don't know. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the Han Solo movie, but that's mostly because Lando. But I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of planets they're going to put in there, and you know what kind of different looks at the galaxy that it's going to offer.
Yeah. I don't know. It reminds me of Star Trek. I'm not a real big Star Trek, but I used to love the movies because my dad was a big fan of the movies. And I remember when they had The Next Generation and so on. I would watch those shows, and none of those shows felt like Star Trek. I don't know. I don't know if it was me or not, but I remember watching those, saying, "Man, this doesn't really have that feeling," you know, of watching it. But it was cool because it was different, but it just didn't have that feel.
I love The Next Generation for the most part, but there were plenty of episodes. Like, yeah, there were plenty of episodes that felt like a different type of sci-fi shows. It was some of the okay, and really, let's face it, some of those episodes have no rewatch quality.
No, there's not.
and then you got the other shows that went off in further different directions. But sometimes they went too far. And that's the kind of stuff I don't want to see them do with Star Wars. But, yeah, I just want them to be innovative with it.
I don't know. Cause I remember by 96 they had done a movie for The Next Generation. And by that time I was so out of it, I didn't want nothing to do with it. I was like, I'm kind of done with it for now.
The last two Next Generation movies were atrocious. Because there was like that episode with the Fountain of Youth planet that felt like it should have been an episode, but they made it a movie instead. Yeah, okay. But then people criticize, oh, they never made a movie about Voyager, they never made a movie about Deep Space Nine. Well, they didn't need to, because those shows went off in so many crazy directions. What else were you going to do with a movie?
Right.
You couldn't do anything else. I mean, they have gone over and over and over. It just became ridiculous by 96, I remember. I was like, oh, God.
Well, I think that's the reason why, including Brian, people complain about the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies, but that's because they kind of had to go back and sort of create something new out of something old, because they'd gone off in so many new directions that I think they just had to rein it back in. But I love those movies. I'm biased.
Nah.
And Brian's wrong. So
you wish. I said, the only good thing that came out of that Star Trek movie was that they killed Winona Ryder. Beyond that, they're shit.
No, that's funny.
That's, you know, that's one of the biggest fears that I had when they announced J.J. Abrams as the director for The Force Awakens, was having watched the first two Star Trek films and wanting, you know, those 4 hours of my life back. And I'm like, if this is a 2-hour Star Wars movie with lens flare, I'm going to be very, very upset. But I thought he did a decent job with it. So, you know, the fact that he's directing 9, I'm all right with it. It's like people have criticized, they loved it when it came out, and then now that, you know, a year or two on, and now it's like, okay, now we're going to go back and criticize. Now we're going to armchair quarterback it. Nah. You know what? I thought it was a good movie.
I don't criticize it. It's just there's parts of it that make me cringe.
He's not talking about you. He's talking about the internet in general that just bitches and moans about everything.
God. Yeah. Because I never had no complaints. I guess there's just parts where I watch and I'm like, that's bad, you know?
What kind of parts make you cringe? I'm just curious.
I thought some of the parts in the cantina, I thought some of the characters were a little over the top. I remember watching the theater, I was like, that's a little low. That's a little, I mean, I understand Star Wars has a lot of those creatures, but I don't know, some of those creatures didn't feel Star Wars. They felt like Deep Space Nine or something that wasn't Star Wars. I felt a lot of them were over the top, and I just remember watching going, that's pretty bad. That was my main beef with that movie, was a lot of that part of the movie. I just thought it was ridiculous.
Well, you know what? That part of the movie that bugged me was, you got this castle, this pirate castle that's been there for 1,000 years and has all these different alien species sitting inside of it, and this castle was absolutely massive. There wasn't anything else on the planet. We didn't see a spaceport around it. We didn't see 100 different spaceships parked outside of it. It was like all these bunch aliens of ruin are here, but the only ship that's parked there is the Millennium Falcon. What? What?
Yeah, it didn't make much sense.
I mean, who's your favorite of the new characters they created for it?
You know, I want to have a favorite, but I really liked Rey. I thought it was kind of cool to see, you know, a female, you know, starting role in Star Wars, because you're so used to seeing Luke or Han. You know, Leia was a cool one, but it was cool to see something different. I think that's why I liked Rey so much, because it was like I said, a breath of fresh air. It was a whole new take on it. Instead of having a male character, it was a female this time. And she was pretty tough. She was like a tomboy. She wasn't like, you're going to push her around. You know, she was going to challenge you. I thought that was kind of interesting.
I'm looking forward to seeing what she's going to do once she has some training, because I really liked how crazy powerful with the Force she was without even having any training. I know a lot of people criticize that, but I thought it was awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do once she's trained and she can harness that a little bit more. And she kicked Kylo Ren's ass. So
a lot of people like really talked a lot about that match, saying, oh, they were bad. You know, even Samuel Jackson said, oh, they need a lightsaber training. A lot of people forget that they're just barely learning how to use these weapons. You know what I mean? Well, maybe not Kylo, but Rey. You know, so it's going to look a little, you know, messy. It's not going to be a perfect, you know, like the original movies were. They're going to be a little reckless and a little rough, you know?
Well, considering at that point there's a handful of Force users that are trained with a lightsaber across the galaxy at that point, well, doesn't it make sense that they'd be a little bit they'd be a little bit unrefined. I mean,
yeah, even Han it's said, a whole lost art at this point in time. I mean, that's why. Yeah, I mean, that's why Kylo Ren's lightsaber looks so.
Trying to revive a Jedi Order, but I mean, you got the sense that it was just a few students, and then Kylo Ren went and wiped out what he had started. So it isn't like there was any sort of standards to follow. I mean, Palpatine outlawed the galaxy even talking about the Jedi and lightsabers and all that. I mean, they destroyed all of that they could get their hands on to destroy so people wouldn't try to revive the Jedi. So it makes sense that the few people using lightsabers wouldn't really know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. That's why I saw the complaining. I'm like, dude, don't you understand? I mean, you know, I understand movie magic, but come on.
Dumb.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, that was, I didn't look at the reviews, and I didn't look at the people on the, you know, because, you know, when you go to those movie sites and they post the, you know, Force Awakens makes this much money. I tried to stay away from those because people were just bashing each other on those. I just, you know, I agreed with some I liked, you know. I was just mixed. I was on the fence. I really liked it when it first came out. Now, like I said, I still like it, but it's hard. I don't watch it as much, and it's a little harder for me to watch, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of weird to say that because I really liked it when it first came out.
I'm looking forward to seeing how that's, I think that's one of the things I'm most anticipating about episode 8 is seeing how different it feels from not just Force Awakens, but the other movies as well. I'm really hoping that it just has a whole different, I really want it to feel like it's something new that we haven't seen in Star Wars before, like giving us new.
See, the only problem, the only thing you got to worry about with that is, you know, if you, that's going to be a real fine line to walk. Then people will start saying, "This is too much. It feels nothing like Star Wars." You know, they've gone completely away from what Star Wars is. So I think to want that is, yeah, it's all right. I don't see anything wrong with that, but you're gonna have the people that are gonna say it's moved too far away from center.
And you're right, because I don't necessarily want it to feel like that, because like I said, I love the prequels, but there's parts of those where it's like, well, I see what they were going for, but they did get a little too far away from it. But then I can say the same thing about The Empire Strikes Back. Look, I love The Empire Strikes Back, but there's parts of that really aren't fun. I mean, it's a great movie, but there's parts of it that really aren't fun. There's parts of the prequels that really aren't fun. There's a few moments in The Force Awakens that really aren't fun. And, well, Rogue One was not supposed to be fun. Let's put it that way. That was supposed to be depressing as all hell.
Yeah. But that was different. I don't know. I'm excited for it. I'm trying not to watch too many of the commercials. I'm just going to, when it comes out, just go in there. I'm not going to listen to any of the reviews or nothing. I'm just going to go in there blindly and just go in there with, you know, low expectations. So if it's really bad, I won't be too disappointed.
I was going to say, if your expectations are low, then, yeah, they can't disappoint you. And, yeah, you know, you can be pleasantly surprised. I mean, I try to avoid reading reviews from a lot of, I don't like people post their reviews on Facebook of the movies, which is okay, but I try to stay off the Star Wars websites where they post a bunch of reviews because they tend to get kind of nitpicky, and I try unsuccessfully to stay away from the news sites where people post their comments, because the comments just tend to put me off, because I'm convinced that nobody hates Star Wars quite as much as Star Wars fans, because, man, people bitch and complain about everything. It's like you guys love Star Wars that much, but, you know, and I'm talking overall in general, boy, you don't have a whole lot of good things to say about it.
See, I try and stay away from that as much as possible, just because I'm not home and I don't want to see the movie through Facebook comments until I can actually go home and see the movie. You know, I just saw Spider-Man Homecoming, you know, 2 days ago. Everybody got to see it in July, but I didn't get to see it until, you know.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it.
Oh, really? That kind of surprises me, as big a Spider-Man fan as you are.
Yeah,
it was a fun movie. It was fun, but it wasn't, I would say, great.
I missed it. You know what? We're busy. I didn't get around to seeing it. Like this weekend, I'm going to see it because, you know, it's supposed to be awesome, and I've never seen the original version of it. So,
oh, you never? Oh, wow.
No, yeah, I haven't either.
No, I've never seen it.
I haven't either. I've read the book, but
you know, and then the next movie you'll probably see after that is Thor Ragnarok, but you know, hopefully I get around to it. But you know, life's busy sometimes, kids and you know, family, and you know, sometimes you just can't find the time.
Feel you. It's hard, man. Talk to me. That's why I don't do many customs. It's just got no time. You know, no time at all. I got a little time to do a quick picture, and then it's off to do homework or make dinner or get them to take showers. And before you know it, it's time to go to bed, man. Got to do it all over again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And work, being an adult, kind of sucks sometimes.
Yes, it does.
Oh, Lord. Don't even get me on that, man. I feel like I'm a teenager in an adult's body. I hate going to work. But it is what it is, man.
Exactly.
All right, man. We are at 2 hours here, so I think this is a pretty good place to call it a night.
That sounds good. I got to do a few things anyway. It was nice talking to you guys.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for coming on the show. I mean, I always like, you know, when people agree to it, but it's especially cool when, you know, I ask somebody and, you know, we can arrange it, you know, pretty quick. Because, it's always just interesting to really mix it up. And, you know, and then I can, you know, probably post it next week. And, it's just cool to talk to all kinds of different fans. And, thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope I guys didn't bore you guys too much.
No, not at all.
Not even a little bit.
Not at all.
At some point, we'd like to have you guys back on the show, but Brian keeps leaving the country, and so we have to go podcastless sometimes.
Yeah, like you guys said, it sucks going to work, man.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you guys let me know. Just let me know ahead of time, and yeah, of course, we'll definitely come on. We're planning some new stuff for the group, so maybe we can do it on the show or something.
Oh, hey, that would be cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're brainstorming, man. We're all trying to brainstorm and make this as much fun. We're trying to keep it simple, but make it as fun as we can. That's, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. We're just going to be enjoy the moment and take it as a day as it goes and have fun as much as we can. You know, and make sure everybody else is having fun as much as we are. That's the most important part to me.
That works for me.
Fun. Yeah, everybody's having a good time.
I think it's a blast.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you guys. I love to hear that.
Well, really, so anybody listening to this that's not on the G.I. Joe Green Shirts page on Facebook, join in. Add to the conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, guys, that's it for this episode of General Geekery. Tune in next time when, you know, who knows what will happen. Same thing as always. We don't plan it out any further than 5 minutes ahead of time.